First reading today comes from the prophet Ezekiel. And the Lord is teaching Ezekiel about his responsibilities as a prophet. He says to Ezekiel that he's supposed to be a watchman for the people of Israel. You know, a watchman would go up in the city walls or on a high tower and be on the lookout for any danger that was coming. That's the role of a prophet, was to warn people of moral evil and to be a watchman for the people. And so the Lord says to him, if you warn people of their evil and they continue to commit it, they'll die because of their evil, but you'll be off the hook. But if you don't say anything, and if you just let that evil go, then they'll be punished for the evil that they do. But you'll be held responsible. Because Ezekiel was a prophet, and it was his responsibility to speak up. When we were baptized and received the sacrament of confirmation, you're baptized as priest, prophet, and king. And part of what it means to be a prophet, our prophetic vocation, our calling from God, is to speak the truth when it comes to morality. You know, that's our responsibility as a prophet, to be the voice of those around us, the voice of conscience, and to speak the truth. And quite honestly, it's a lot easier to remain silent and to say nothing. And I'll admit, there have been plenty of situations where I'm in, and since I'm a priest, a lot of times I come upon these situations where someone comes up to me and they'll just throw this out. They'll be like, oh yeah, I used to be Catholic. And I'm just like, oh great, here we go again. I could have just had a nice dinner, a nice conversation with these people. All right, let's go. They throw that out there. It can make the situation uncomfortable when we have to deal with an issue, whether it's that issue or some immorality, if they're taking the Lord's name in vain, or if they're living an unchaste lifestyle, or whatever the situation is, it can be uncomfortable to bring that up and to deal with the reaction. But the reality is that our responsibility of our baptism is to speak up. And if we don't speak up, we will be held responsible for their sin. You know, one of the ways to commit sin is by silence, by not speaking up in a situation where we have a moral obligation to say something. You know, that silence is a sin against charity. And St. Paul talks about charity in the second reading. He says, love does no evil to one's neighbor. Love does not allow somebody to fester in their sin. If they're doing something, and all sin is destructive, if they're doing something that leads them on the path to destruction, and we just sit back and we're like, oh, maybe I'll say a prayer for them, but I'm not going to say anything, that's a sin against charity. There's a famous quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And so it's our responsibility as Christians to speak up, however uncomfortable that might make the situation. So how do we go about fraternal correction? How do we go about correcting someone? In today's gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, it gives us instructions. Our Lord teaches us how to do that. And the reading seems to be focused on people who already have some sense of morality and some connection to the church. But the way to go about that is not to nag the person. That might just make them angry. Or sometimes people are a little passive-aggressive about it, and they'll pick at them or just make little comments here or there. That oftentimes is not very helpful, and it can actually be harmful. And another thing that we shouldn't do in a tendency of a lot of people is if someone does something wrong or they do something against us, we want to go around and tell everybody else what they did. Or we put it on Facebook, or we tweet it, or we tell everybody else except the person, because it's hard to confront the person. But that's the first thing that Christ tells us to do, is go to the person face to face, the person who wronged us or the person who's committing some sin, and tell them honestly and directly, but with charity, in the way that we think would be the most likely to bring about their repentance. Certainly to pray beforehand for the right words and the person's heart will be open, but to face it face to face. Second, if they don't listen, to have an intervention. Bring one or two other people and confront them. And if they don't listen to that, take it to the church. You know, other people at the church or the priest or the deacon. And if they don't respond to the church, you know, then, you know, as Christ says, treat them as a Gentile. Now, this is mostly for people who have some foundation in morality or in the faith. But a lot of people in the world have no faith or no sense of morality, or they have a deep cynicism towards morality. And it's harder to deal with those people. And so what do we do about those people, or people who we know are hostile to the church? I think first it's important to figure out who the right person is to speak to that person. The right person could be you, or it could be somebody else. Sometimes we are that person. Sometimes somebody else is in a better position to talk to that person. A lot of times, the father is a good person to go to, because the most important individual in determining the faith of children, by far, is the father. That's the most important influence. So if you can go to the father, or to somebody's husband, or to perhaps a friend who has deep faith and that you know they'll listen to, you know, who is the person that they're most likely to listen to? Second, have a one-on-one discussion. Invite them out to eat. Invite them in a situation where they'll be comfortable. And listen first. And don't say much. Seek to understand what's really going on. Chances are the first thing that they'll tell you if they're hostile isn't really what you have to deal with. Someone might come out and say, "Oh, I hate the church." And it's like, well, you can come out and say, "Well, here's five reasons why you should really love the church." And they're not going to care, because that's probably not the real issue. You know, there's probably something underneath that. Why do they hate the church? It might have nothing to do with the church. It might be that they lost a loved one years ago and they blame God for that. And they're angry because of that. Or it could be that there's something immoral in their life that they're clinging to that they know the church doesn't accept. And that's what's causing their animosity towards the church. The real issue could have nothing to do with what it sounds like on the surface. So listen first and don't say anything to them. Just ask questions to get them talking until you find the real issue. Chances are, if they're hostile, there's a reason that we need to kind of work to find it. So we do so with charity and with patience. You know, but as our society turns further away and further away from truth and morality, our responsibility is more urgent, and there's going to be more and more situations that we're put in where we have to speak up. I'm sure every one of us has family members, friends, neighbors that this might apply to. So I encourage you to take some time to pray about who it is that the Lord might be calling you to speak up to and to testify to. Because we can't have a spirit of cowardice. We can't just back down and say, "Well, I'll say a prayer for this person, but I'm not going to confront them." We have a spirit of fortitude and of strength given to us in our baptism and confirmation. And fraternal correction is an act of charity and part of our baptismal calling. With all the distress that it can put us through and all the discomfort, imagine the positive impact if we could turn one person away from the path to damnation to the path of eternal life. It would all be worth it for the salvation of one soul.